it's about looking at all of the levels together, the relationships of them in not just one-on-one to each other, but in groups. And you can see trends of how the body is getting rid of it. How is it creating new cells? What is the quality of those cells? Does the body have enough energy to get rid of the toxic metals once it is introduced into the body?
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio. Now, we don't want you to worry about taking too many notes, so you can join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club, and we'll send you the transcripts and show notes from every episode. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And as always, it's my pleasure to be with you here on another brand new episode of the Autoimmune Hour. And I'm just so excited tonight. First off, I wanted to share with you, look, a tea mug with our logo on it. Isn't that cool? It's probably reversed, I know, but, you know, because it's video, but... And I know if you're listening on audio, just know that I got this brand new tea mug that has my logo on it. It's so cool. You know what? I think it makes the tea taste better, right? So anyway, I got my chai tea with the almond milk in there too. And I'm really enjoying it. So it says on the back, here's to a terrific thriver. You know, life is like a cup of tea. It's all in how you savor it. So isn't that cool? Anyway, I'm having fun with my brand new tea mug there. And I hope you're having fun tonight as well, doing something exciting. And you know how I say, if you've listened to the show for a while, I think one of the coolest things is having your friends introduce you to other awesome people, right? And that's what has happened here. We have a mutual friend, Carrie Hummingbird from Skills Not Pills. And she introduced me to Eva Venari. And Eva is awesome too. So I said, you got to be on the show because she's on a mission to dismantle the status quo of the sickness industry. And I'm like, woohoo, yes, absolutely. As you guys know, so am I, all about being a strong advocate for your own healthcare and standing up for what you know that you need. And she spent most of her adult life suffering from all kinds of conditions. And fighting for her own sanity, she likes to say, until she decided to take matters in her own hands. A lot of us there can raise our hand on that one, right? I think that's part of what the Autoimmune Hour stands for. That's when everything shifted, when she took matters into her own hands and her body went from being the enemy to being her best and most devoted ally and partner. She now teaches people worldwide and she works a lot with what I call sensitive people. And I've found in all the 220 plus episodes we've been doing that a lot of sensitive people do have autoimmune issues. So I wanted to have her on and talk about how she helps people take charge of their well-being and thrive in their lives. So welcome to the Thriver community, Eva.
Hey, thank you for the welcome, Sharon. This is really exciting to be here.
Oh my gosh, it is so exciting. And everyone, what I love, like I said, is before, was we have mutual friends. It's so cool that, you know, we just keep expanding our community here at the Autoimmune Hour. First off, Eva, I wanted to talk a little bit about sensitive people. And this is totally the science of Sharon. So guys, just take it for that. But I've noticed that a large part of my community would define themselves as being sensitive people, whether on a scale, like whether all the way into empath or saying, well, gosh, you know, if someone prescribes medication to me, I just need to take a tiny portion of it and it affects me completely versus something else or sensitive to food. So let's define sensitive people, Eva.
It's really a spectrum. It's this huge space where people, this is the way I defined it for myself, I felt different from the very beginning. I felt a little bit on the outside, like I didn't belong, like my intuition and how I viewed the world was different than how the adults were trying to tell me was how I was supposed to see it. And that confusion made me feel different, even more so. It just confirmed the difference in me. So the sensitivity is, yeah, the emotional sensitivity of feeling other people's emotions all the way down to being able to be clairvoyant, clairsentient, clairaudient, all of those things I consider sensitive, whether you define them as a sensitivity in the new age or whether you are deeply entrenched in a religion that may not accept those things, but you still feel and experience them as your reality. So it's a big definition there, but that it includes everyone along that spectrum from one end to the other.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm going to add a little semicolon there, I guess it would be, right? that I also define it as people that are sensitive to the world around them besides the emotional energetic part. Because a lot of people with autoimmune would say, yes, I'm absolutely sensitive to other people's emotions. I'm absolutely sensitive to the energy in the room, can pick it up wherever I am type of things. But I've also found that a large number of those people who say that energetic emotional sensitivity are also have things like food sensitivities, heat and cold sensitivities, as I mentioned, prescription sensitivities, like they only need a fraction of what's being offered to them. And so it can be quite confusing. And for me, part of the medical community was disbelieving when I said, trust me, I don't need that much. You know, I know my body best. What are some things that you tell people so that you can confirm their sanity, I think is where we're going with this.
Oftentimes I have a hotline people call in and, you know, there's that moment when they realize they have someone who's willing to listen to them. And I am being given the opportunity to hear their most inner thoughts about how their body works. And a lot of times sensitives, they feel that their body's not working, that somehow they got in the wrong line when it was time to pick up their body. And they're like, I got a lemon, it doesn't work. And I says, no, that our bodies are working exactly how they are supposed to. And you put, you know, that you hit the nail on the head when he says, yes, that sensitives also feel it in their body. And I say they're absolutely related. Emotional traumas or even just thoughts that are different than what we are allowing ourselves to feel properly, they actually will manifest into a physical condition like allergies or like autoimmune disorder or chronic fatigue. It's something that ends up there from the emotional disturbance. And that's what I see time and time again. So I want to, my goal when I'm on the phone with them is to give them a glimmer of hope and say, if we give our bodies what it needs, and that includes self-love to a great degree, if we give them what it needs, then the body will heal itself. And by the time we're done with that conversation, I can hear it. I can hear the glimmer of hope that says, oh, you mean I can turn this around? I don't have to continue suffering? Mm. And yes, yeah, that answer is yes. And I love that moment.
Oh, me too. And two things came to my mind when you said that. The first time I met my naturopath, who was listening with that deep a connection like you were just describing that you have on your hotline. And then pretty soon I said to her, you seem to know an awful lot about autoimmune and sensitive people. Tell me why. And then she revealed to me in all vulnerability that she had an autoimmune condition herself, that she was a thriver now, and she was also a highly sensitive person. And I'll tell you, my heart leapt with joy because somebody got me finally. And I think that's critically important to be known. You're not weird. It's just different.
Exactly.
Yeah. You're not crazy. It's just different.
Well, it wasn't. And that was the result of my conversations with doctors. When I went to them for answers, I said, you know, I don't feel good. I have all of these problems that they are telling me are uncurable. And one of them turned his back on me, literally turned his back and started writing in the folder. And he says, well, Eva, I think you're a hypochondriac and you probably need some psychological help.
Mm, heard that one too.
Yeah.
I've been labeled an NCP and I did not know what that meant for a while, but it means non-compliant patient.
Oh, well, that's me.
And I took it as a badge of honor after what this particular medical professional had been suggesting I do, which now, several years later, I realize would have changed my life drastically for the worse. And I'm thinking, yeah, they were recommending a surgery, which I didn't need. So it's sort of like the idea of an auto mechanic going, well, let's pull out the spark plugs first and then see if the car runs, you know? I've had auto mechanics like that. So, well, I don't know, but here we'll change the wiring. Here's, you know, fork over $100, and then, oh, we'll change the oil, fork over $50, until they finally find the right part. And I'm like, yeah, no, that's not for me.
No, I don't like science experiments like that.
Definitely. Not on anyone. Not on anyone. So tell us a little bit more about how you work with sensitive people. I mean, listening is absolutely critical important. Like I said, I listen to the people here on the show and to the people in my community, and I find that is so profound for me as well as to be listened to. But what else, what are some other tips you have for sensitive people to go, okay, it's just different. I'm just a different place on the spectrum.
I'm just different. Well, I'm just different doesn't mean you have to suffer through the, you know, the conditions the body creates by listening to people that don't resonate with you. And part of that I mentioned earlier is this self-love. And oftentimes we just need permission to do that and energy to do that and the ability mentally and emotionally to make space for that possibility, because for a long time anyways, this was my experience, I didn't have the ability to think that I had the self-esteem to believe that my body could actually heal itself. It sounds counterintuitive, but I had a belief that my body would heal itself if I gave it what it needed, but I also didn't know what it needed. So my research started with that belief. I thought, okay, if I give my body what it needs, it'll heal itself. I held on to that, and I decided not to take prescription medications. I tore those up. I fired the doctors, especially that one that said, it's all in your head. Like, it could be somewhat in my head, but it's not all in my head. And eventually, after many years of research, I came across the nutritional balancing science. And this is what resonated. And I listened to that little voice that said, oh, this makes sense to me, and followed the path of interest and curiosity. And then I got excited when I realized this application could actually be the answer I've been looking for. It was all about looking at the relationship of minerals in the body, which seems very spacey, and I want to ground it in. It's like, if we're all made of a similar chemical makeup, like we're supposed to have what I call preferred minerals that makes up a body. And it's kind of like you mentioned using the car as a continuing metaphor. If we are running on all cylinders and the sparks are sparking and the engine is running the way it should, then we're going to get great performance. But if something is missing, if somebody's pulled out a spark plug, if we have tires that are low on air, or they're being used as spare tires instead of the actual tire, we're going to notice a performance difference. We're not going to be able to turn, go as fast, run as long. Our gas isn't going to last as long. All of these things, they really are good metaphors for how the body works. If we do not have inside of it our makeup of what we're supposed to have. And that's because we live in the most polluted time ever. And our bodies are having a difficult time overcoming it. At least mine was. Mine was having that difficult time. So, and then it became, well, I need to put in more of what my body is supposed to be made of. And we know that our food is not of the highest quality, doesn't have the nutrient density that it used to have even just 10 years ago, 15 years ago. And we go back 50 years ago and people were a lot healthier because we didn't have all the problems with food production the way that we do now. And just the need for technology to overcome common sense and the replacement of things like butter with margarine, things like that. So it's like going back to nature, going back to the original tract and giving the body what it needs. Those are the two things. So the question became, well, how do I know what my body needs? And through nutritional balancing science, the whole foundation is to test the hair. So you see what's going on inside the hair, look at the relationship of minerals, and then you go about correcting those imbalances. I call it healing the corrupt layers of metabolism. So that's the science in a nutshell, is we're looking at correcting those corrupt layers of metabolism so that the immune system can run on all cylinders. that's the idea.
We'll talk a little bit about hair analysis, I guess that's a word for it, in just a minute. But I wanted to circle back just really quickly to describe research study I read recently, even about organic foods, how a lot of them are picking up from the soil. So they haven't been sprayed with pesticides, but the soils are polluted with heavy metals and other types of toxins that aren't tested for in organic foods. And I was so surprised, like, even when you think you're doing the very best you can to get the proper foods, they're not like our foods were, as you mentioned, even just a decade ago, which was shocking to me.
Yeah, no, this is true. I've noticed not too long ago, there was an article put out, I think it was by the US government. They have to test the foods that they pay to be using the organic label, right? The certification. And every year those foods have to go through organic testing, and almost all of them still had pesticides for the reasons you listed. And our water is so highly polluted. And the next best thing to do, because we can't live in a bubble and we must eat. So the idea is to fortify the body. And that's really my work.
Okay, great. I just wanted people to understand that sometimes we think we're eating healthy, and we're eating healthy as we can.
Yes.
Even after that, there are some issues that we can't overcome. So that's great. Now, okay, hair analysis. I've had it done and I found it fascinating, but describe to people what it is and how it works.
It's what I call the trash report.
So that's what I thought when I saw the report. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's 22 different levels of nutrient, minerals, and toxic metals to give us an idea of the trend of the energy systems of the body. And that's a lot of words for the trash report. So when we cut the hair, it's really, people on camera, they can see I'm pointing at the back of the head. And we can see you take about an inch's worth of growth from the back of the head of hair. And that goes to the lab. We get the 22 different levels back from the lab. And from that, you see then the parts per million of each of the minerals that we test for and toxic metals that are coming out. So everything that we eat, everything we drink, everything we breathe in, we take that into our body without judgment. The body doesn't say, oh, that's good for me, I'll keep that. Oh, that's bad for me, it goes to the side. No, it MacGyvers us together with whatever we have in our environment. If you've ever watched that show, you know, he takes whatever is in his environment and makes what he needs. And that's exactly what the body does. It doesn't say, oh, that's bad for me, I shouldn't use it. It says, hey, I need that as a replacement, as a spare tire for the body to function. So I'm going to use that for now until I get my preferred mineral.
I like that, MacGyvered. I'd never heard that. You're right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Or it stores it in fat for a later time as well. I mean, the body's magnificent in its wisdom.
Yeah. And so after it takes in, MacGyvers us together, whatever is left over or whatever we do not have the energy to continue producing more, it stores it, like you said, in the fat, and also goes into our brain tissue. It goes into our soft tissues, which is our hair and our nails. And as it grows out, we can see, just like tree rings, we can see a history of what's gone on in the body. So the closer to the scalp, the better, right?
Right. Well, my question is, a lot of us, I quit doing it with my autoimmune condition, but a lot of us, our hair is not our natural color, nor maybe curls or non-curls. We've either curled or straightened.
So mine too.
A lot of those chemicals are already on the hair. How does that affect hair analysis?
Well, the follicle and the strand itself is about 10% absorbent. And so I color my hair. I've colored my hair since I was 20, because nobody told me that thyroid conditions meant that you were going gray at the age of 20. So I've been coloring my hair for that long. And it does not affect the hair test itself, because we wait until you've had about 3 washings since your last chemical treatment. The only thing that does affect it permanently is keratin treatment, because that wraps all the way around the hair strand itself, and we have to wait for that to grow out. But yeah, new hair is not necessary after it's been colored. There are no minerals in the hair color, interestingly enough, to affect your test result. Yeah.
Wow, I would have thought for sure I had just like nuked my hair.
No.
Wow, that's fascinating. Now, one more question that hopefully we can politely answer. Are there other places we could get the hair if our hair is keratinized or nuked?
Yeah, I worked in construction for 16 years, and I think men had a lot of fun trying to make me blush and say things that were inappropriate. And so I've learned to answer this question in a fun way. Bald men will ask me, well, Eva, I don't have any hair up here, and they're touching their shiny head. And I says, honey, you grow hair somewhere. So beard works fine. Chest hair works fine. Pubic hair does work fine.
Okay, great. Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break on that note. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about replacing these minerals and finding out how we cleanse these things out of our system. We'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living. A chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times. Co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And tonight we're just having a hysterically good time. I know, with Eva Venari. Well, that wasn't really our mission tonight, but we're just having a lot of fun talking about sensitive people, the things that sensitive people have to go through. Sometimes I feel like you have to prove you're sensitive or something, which is ridiculous. But also, we're also talking about hair analysis and how we can find out what our body is missing. Or maybe what's in it that shouldn't be there as well. So first off, let's talk about some of the things that we find that shouldn't be there. And then we'll talk about the things that should be there that we find aren't there. So let's talk about some of those things that we find that are like, uh-oh.
Yeah, absolutely. It comes as a huge surprise for people when they see the report. And I do this little fun thing where I do not share the test result with them until right before I share it with them. It's all done remotely because they'll sit there and kind of obsess over it and go, oh my God, I'm going to die. And it's like, no, just you're fine. We're going to work through this. But the biggest one is the amount of copper that people have coming out of them. And it's a nutrient mineral that we all need, and we need it for our reproductive systems and many other things. But it's one of the main components to reproductive system. And I find that there's an awful lot of stored copper. 95% of the people that I test throughout the body, and it causes a great deal of inflammation and issues with the endocrine system and all kinds of problems.
Where would we get excess copper? I mean, I was thinking lead, mercury, you know, where would I might pick up excess copper?
Well, here's the fun thing.
I mean, I'm not chewing on the electrical wiring.
We're not a bunch of rats, right? Yeah. No, it's interesting because like I said, we need it. So the body is supposed to have it. And yes, it's in our environment, so we pick it up, but we also pick it up from our mother. So a lot of things that we think are genetic are actually congenial in nature, meaning that it's passed from mother to child in the womb. So we are not born perfectly. We have whatever imbalances our mother had, they're passed to us, including toxic metals. So that's one fun note.
I had no idea. So, wow.
Yeah. My mother's first test, my first test, and both of my girls' first tests were identical.
That's fascinating. I've never heard that before, because I honestly thought that I picked it all up from my environment, whether I'm of the age where leaded gas was and leaded paint were readily available. And I guess wow, that explains a lot. Fascinating. Yeah.
Well, and then environmentally, if you are with your birth mother throughout childhood, you're both in the same environment, therefore compounding and reinforcing the same imbalance as she had in you. And you continue to grow up that way. And become an adult that way. And it's not until you can get out of the same environment. But usually we end up eating the same things that we did when we were, you know, growing up, and whatever mom made, we like those things best, right? So all of that, it continues, right? Yeah.
Well, that was true until the autoimmune. Then all of a sudden it became no gluten, no dairy. Yes. I mean, it became a radical reshift of the diet. But yes,
Me too.
Was true up until that point. I did have my comfort foods.
Yes. Exactly.
But now I just look at comfortingly.
Yeah. So we have those layers of metabolism. They build up like an onion. You know, we're born at the onion core, and then over time we just create more layers and more layers and more layers. And eventually those layers, they just continue to keep us in that imbalance. And the only way out of that is to heal the outer layers first and then reveal the new layers underneath and heal those layers. And it just keeps going and going. And the way to that is by, you know, have you ever tried to argue with an angry person?
Yeah.
It's not a good idea. It's just not a good idea. So oftentimes,
you're not going to get very far.
You're not going to get very far. Yeah.
It's like waving a red flag in front of a
bull,
you know, a raging bull. Yeah.
So it the same thing when we try to do cleanses, flushes, anything that chases after a symptom rather than actually asking the body, what does it need? And I find that with the hair analysis, this is the way to ask the body what it needs and empathize with it. And that way it calms down. It reduces the stress internally, allows for the body to go through whatever priority it needs to heal one thing after another. And you just put it goes automatically into this, what I call four stages of healing. And you're on this track where the body just continues to heal, create new layers of now healthy, balanced metabolism layers, and you run better and better and better and better. And it's over time. So it's
absolutely over time. And what that came to my mind was, I love the onion metaphor. I think about that two ways, that as when you're doing some deep trauma and emotional work, you feel like you're peeling away layers of the onion. And so I'm thinking that's fascinating. And also the idea of healing as a process. For us with autoimmune, it's like, fix it now. But I've noticed on my healing journey, on my thriving journey here, that I'm just, when I shifted to this idea, instead of cure it, fix it now, to the idea of I'm just continuing to optimize every day.
Yes.
That things went quicker when I had the mindset of just continue to optimize, Sharon, continue to add, continue to optimize.
Yeah, you're hitting the nail right on the head. One of the concepts, one of the belief systems that I work with sensitive individuals on, and this was a journey for myself as well, is I realized that what I was thinking about how my body healed and arguing with it and saying, why aren't you better? Why, you know, that argument down to the body was, I was creating more upset, more anxiety by not giving my body the time that it needed. So I had to come up with this way of conveying, hey, we think things very quickly. It's almost like our thoughts are in air space. And so that goes very fast. We've made up our mind. We want to heal. We want to feel better. But if we allow for our body to realize, or our mind to realize, that our body is made up of water, and water just takes longer for everything to move through. It's just a longer process. And if we allow for that and have self-compassion, that self-love I was talking about earlier, then you said it, you hit the nail on the head again. It goes faster when we align with the body rather than fight with it. And that's a big concept.
Absolutely. And I like to say, I didn't get here overnight. Why do I expect it to be healed overnight
exactly.
as well? Yeah. It's like, wave my magic wand and boing. That's what I had to get real about how the body heals.
Well, not only that portion of it, if I want it done now, but we want certain things to be done before other things. And the body's got its own back burner list and its own priority that we have no business getting involved in. And when we do, and we try to parasite cleanse before we actually heal the gut, you know, those things, they do relate to each other, but you have to heal the gut. Once you heal the gut, then the parasites no longer have an environment in which they can thrive. So it's do one, and then the other one happens on its own quite nicely. And that's what I look for, is that let's just tap into the body's natural healing ability and allow for it to do its work. We don't have to be then the architects of our own health. We just have to be the stewards of it.
I like that, the stewards of it. I like that. That's a nice term. We mentioned copper. What are a couple others ones that people are always going, seriously?
Calcium is a big one. We see a bunch of calcium with copper imbalance. They go hand in hand. One processes and aggravates the other. And people get scared because the calcium shows up as a huge amount on a test where a person is holding on to copper. And immediately they think, well, okay, I should stop taking calcium. I says, no, wait a minute. We need the calcium. Calcium needs it. It's coming out of the body too quickly. We need to find a way to preserve it better. And so it's all a balancing act, which is why it's called nutritional balancing. But that's another one that people get scared with. That, and it's correlated, directly related, is the low potassium. So immediately people see, oh, I've got this little tiny amount on the test result of potassium. I should eat more bananas, right? And I said, no, don't eat more bananas. That means there's too much.
That was where my thought went.
a lot of people do. And it's okay to think that way. It's just I need an opportunity to say, no, don't, time out. Yeah, body works differently than that. I know I went through this process of going to the doctor, being anemic for years. And every time they would run my blood test, they would look at the test on the blood result. And they say, oh, you're really low in iron. Here's an iron supplement. Have you gone through that before?
Yes, yeah. I did. And it was not, that wasn't the issue. It was very frustrating to be told that, and the other folate, folic acid, the difference between, and the methylfolates, and very frustrating when they're only looking at one number on one test.
Exactly. And so this is exactly the point, is that even blood can be misleading. While it is useful, it's about looking at all of the levels together, the relationships of them in not just one-on-one to each other, but in groups. And you can see trends of how the body is getting rid of it. How is it creating new cells? What is the quality of those cells? Does the body have enough energy to get rid of the toxic metals once it is introduced into the body? Is it killing off viruses? Is it getting rid of bacteria as you're exposed to it? All of these things can be seen quite well on a hair test in a way that most people think, oh, it's only to tell if I have toxic metals. No, it can tell you all kinds of things, including your endocrine system's ability.
Wow, I had no idea. This is fascinating. So we've been talking about heavy metals, and it can tell us how many minerals can it tell us where we're at on minerals? Does it tell us vitamins too?
It goes through calcium, magnesium, sodium, potassium, iron, copper, zinc, chromium, selenium, and phosphorus. So those are the nutrient minerals that we cover. And then there are six toxic metals in particular. I think cadmium, mercury, lead, aluminum, and I'm sure I'm forgetting, nickel is one, and I'm not remembering all of them. But the idea is we can see not all of the ones that could be in our body. We're just looking at the ones that give us an idea of trend. Is the body getting rid of toxins? Is it holding on to them? Are we able to process our sugars well, or should we, you know, be adjusting our diet in order to accommodate? Is the liver getting too overloaded with toxins? How are the kidneys doing? We can see stresses on different parts of the body through the hair.
So. But that brings up a question, though, when you said, is it getting rid of things or holding on to them? This may be a silly question, but it came up into my brain. So here we go. If it's holding on to them, and maybe, I mean, does the body hold on to the negative things and maybe not show up in the hair until a little bit later after we've taken care of something else, and all of a sudden on the next hair analysis, it's boom?
Yep. Well, we can see, so this is a science that's been around for a little while. It's more than 50 years now. And after testing and then retesting, every 4 months we retest. If a person is on the program with us, then it's a retest process to see what layer of metabolism they're in. So just like what you just said, if a body is holding on to a toxin, it's not going to reach a threshold that says a healthy body should be getting rid of these toxins. If they're in our environment around us and we are absorbing the toxins in, and we are, especially through water and especially through food, and especially if you live in a big city that like LA, we have tons of toxins in our air. So we know where we're breathing them in too. If the body is not getting rid of them on a hair test, then what is it doing with it? It's storing it. And when it stores it, it's kind of like a bad kid in the back of the class. It's supposed to be, you know, in school, but it's not supposed to, if it's unsupported, it's going to continue to cause problems. And so that's really what happens. So the toxic metal is supposed to be pushed out. And instead, if the body's unsupported, it will hold on to it, use it as best it can, like a spare tire, and then cause inflammation. It bangs around inside causing problems.
As we're going through this process, then the original report is great. It puts us on a path, but we can always have a couple of surprises later on as the body continues to heal and optimize and say, okay, we've gotten to this part of the closet. We don't need this spare tire anymore. And then all of a sudden throws it out, right?
That's right. Yeah, you can actually see. So this was the fun part as I continued to progress. And I watch this on my clients as well. But we go from one test to the next test. And I love to see the mercury, you know, go from almost nothing to on the next test jump way high. So I know the body is getting rid of it. It's dumping it out into the hair. That's their trash report. So it's coming out of the brain, out of wherever else it was storing, and it's leaving. And that's a beautiful thing. So and people, they, I find that my best referral sources are people who are dumping their toxic metals. They're like, oh, it's working. And next thing I know, their husband's on the program or their mother's on the program. They finally see, oh, I get it now. I understand why this works. And now they want to refer. They want everybody to be on it. So
I can see also why you wouldn't want to tell someone the report until you're right there to describe it to them. Because if they're not prepared for the second or third report to be completely different, I mean, I would freak out if all of a sudden the mercury spiked.
Yeah.
If I didn't know the background behind that. No, that's a good thing here.
Yeah, I call it cause for celebration. When people tell me, oh, Eva, I've never gone through so many healing reactions. I've never been, I told my practitioner, I said, I've never been so sick. And he goes, congratulations. It's just the body reversing and getting rid of all of the junk that I had been holding on to, and that my body did not have the energy to clear out on its own until now. That to me is cause for celebration.
Oh, yes. And we're going to celebrate while we take another quick commercial break, and we'll come back and talk to Eva more about what we can do to optimize and on our own as well. So we'll be right back.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the OM Times Experts program. With OM Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at projectforgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Hi, this is Sharon. And of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters. a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and tonight we're here with Eva Veneri, and she's on a mission to dismantle the status quo of the sickness industry. Woohoo! And tonight she's been talking about how she works with sensitive people to discover what's really wrong with them, and as she says, with the hair analysis, we're understanding what's in the trash, and then we can take out the trash. So I love that analogy as well. What are some things, as we begin to heal, that you commonly find that people can do on their own? Maybe they're saying, oh, I don't know about the hair analysis right now, or whatever. What are a couple of tips that you give people when they say, I'm not quite ready?
Not quite ready. There's a couple of really easy things. Well, they're accessible and they're almost free. Water. Water is one of my favorite subjects. I'm all about hydrating the body, and it helps flush the kidneys and the liver of all the things that we have built up and body's trying. We got to clear out those filters, right? So the biggest thing is to drink enough water. And you don't, if you're not on a detox protocol like this, 2 quarts is more than enough throughout the day of water. 3 quarts is what I recommend to my clients while they're going through these types of programs, because we need to really flush the kidneys. But it's not so much the how much, it's the when that's the big deal. So our digestion, especially here in the States, seems to be just abysmal. So we can support that. Give yourself a berth, a wide berth from your meals. I would stop drinking water at least 15 minutes before eating and wait 15 minutes after eating. And this makes a huge difference in our body's ability to digest all of the food, get it down to the smallest molecule so that our intestines can actually absorb those minerals. It's a big deal. I've given corporate wellness trainings, and a week later on this subject, I'll hear from one of the attendees said, you know what? I've been having stomach problems for a couple of years. I just did this one thing. I changed when I drank my water, and stomach pains are gone. My digestion is better. I don't have the gas and bloating that I used to. Big deal. Big deal for that person.
Absolutely a big deal. And what I love about, just a couple of things came to mind, is we had Dr. Julie Gatza on not too long ago. And I want to add to this the idea of chewing. She said we don't chew enough. So there you go, guys. Not only water 15 minutes before, water 15 minutes after, but chew that food, really get it ground up so the digestion system doesn't have to work so hard. And you can listen to her show. Just go on to understandingautoimmune.com. And it's G-A-T-Z-A, Dr. Julie Gatza. And also, Dr. Dana Cohen and Gina Braya were on about hydration. So they were talking about the different kinds of things that we need to understand about water. So check out the hydration show as well. And one of the things that Dr. Cohen and Gina were talking about is understanding not only where you get your water from, but also this idea of the electrical charge of the water is really important. And I was so fascinated about just adding minor little things to the water can make it so much more efficient for your body to use.
It can, yeah. I recommend spring water or carbon filtered water, and just to keep it simple, just because there are so many new things to learn. But if you want to take on additional fun ways to increase the energy of the water, our own attention to the water makes a difference too.
Check out that it's, I'm trying to think, it was probably a few months ago that we had him on, and it's just called Hydration. Put it in over at Understanding Autoimmune. And then they shared some great recipes that were really simple to do to make, well, I'll say not just plain, drinking plain water, but it really was tasty water. So you can healthy, tasty water as well. So, because when you said 3 quarts of water, I drink a lot, but now since Gina and Dr. Cohen's recipes, it's much easier to get that much water in me. And they're simple recipes that just add to the body's ability to metabolize and use the water in a much more efficient way. So that's awesome. And so let's see, that's one, water, drinking water, understanding digestion. What else?
Resting. A lot of people confuse the difference between sleep and rest. And especially when it comes to corporate wellness, I do a lot of corporate wellness trainings to teach people how to take care of themselves at work. You get a lot of people who don't take their breaks anymore. They don't take their lunch breaks. They don't actually let their food digest after eating a meal, right? They take the last bite, and as they're chewing the last bite, they're taking their trash from what's in front of them, putting up in the trash right back to their desk. And all of that.
If they're not eating at their desk.
If they're not eating at their desk, or they're going through the drive-thru. It's like all of these things, they heighten the stress in the body. If you are stressed, it is not a time to eat and digest. So any food you eat while you are stressed is actually no different than you might as well take the food from wherever you get it and put it straight into the trash, because your body's not going to absorb it very well.
Yeah, that's where that term rest and digest comes from.
There you go.
Everyone, you know, either you're in stress or you're in rest and digest.
Right. So, and that doesn't just apply to eating. That applies to making sure that you take the time to use the restroom. I call it empty the tank before you fill it. You know, go to the bathroom, and then go get some more water, and make sure you get some time in between. Your body has a natural 90-minute flow to it, where it wants a break every 90 minutes. And if you listen to that, you get up from whatever you are doing, whatever you're concentrating on, you get up and you leave and you take a few minutes break, you get yourself refreshed, you'll come back feeling even more regenerated. That's the word I was looking for. Self-rejuvenated.
Regenerized?
Yes, we'll make up for some words, yes. But it's about, we think that plowing through our to-do list makes us more productive. It actually makes us more tired, and it slows us down energetically, creativity completely plummets, and it's better to take the time to rest in between. 5 minutes is all you really need.
Yeah, absolutely. And getting in a little exercise too, walking about, as you said, get up. What is that article that's been going around for a while about sitting is the new smoking, or some sorts of thing? And I think about how often I have to set a timer to remind myself when I'm especially doing writing or some other high concentration type of event on my computer. If I don't set a timer, I can look up and an amazing amount of time has gone by. So I love technology today where I can set a timer that reminds me to get up. And
yeah, yes, that's a great tool.
Sometimes it's hard to get up because you're like, oh, what was that great sentence I was just writing? But it's been helpful to me to get up and stretch, move about.
Yeah.
Get a little bit of exercise, if not more than a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, this is so fascinating. How are other ways, as people, we use the hair analysis to give us the roadmap. Mm-hmm. What are some other things that you share with people as far as they continue on down this roadmap of creating even a more optimized body?
Well, along the lines of what you mentioned earlier is chewing your food, but what's in your mouth while you're chewing it is the question. And I try to convert people over to, cooked vegetables.
Wow. That's what you meant. I'm like, what's in my mouth? Well, it's a fork. Or, you know, that's made of metal. Is that causing? Oh, my gosh. My brain went multiple places. It didn't go into, like, the actual food product. Okay.
Food, keeping it clean. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
So more veggies.
More veggies. More cooked veggies. And the idea is, we, again, it's digestion. A lot of us have poor digestion, not enough juice in order to break down raw vegetables. Everybody says, yeah, raw vegetables are better for you. They are if you have a strong enough digestive system. And most of us simply do not. And I see that as evidence, as proof on the hair analysis, on the test reports with people all the time. We just have to improve that over time. But the energy systems can be helped greatly by getting to the minerals inside of a cooked vegetables, which is really the important stuff. The vitamins, they are there. You do lose some of them in the cooking process, depending on what type of, you know, cooking you do, whether it's steaming or baking or, you know, saute, however you want to cook your vegetables, cook them. Just make them softer so that you can digest them more easily and get those minerals out. And that's the important part.
Plus you get the fiber, which helps move things that you're getting out
through
the toxins out, you're getting them through, because too often the various parts of the system can be sluggish if they're weighed down with metals and lack of the right nutrients. Things can get sluggish, so definitely the cooked veggies, and chew them up well and get that fiber all the way down into your system to move things out.
Yes.
Once we start moving it out, let's really get the trash out. Okay, fantastic. So share with us, we're down to just about 6 minutes now. Time flies, I can't believe it. But share with us any final thoughts you'd like everybody to know, and then where they can find out more about you and how to get a hold of you.
Absolutely. So it really comes down to, when it comes to the body and how well its ability to heal, the environment internally. And so if you have a question on whether or not this is a good process for you, and if your environment is giving you a good result that you want, even though you think you're doing all the right things, let's check it out. I have a 20 question self-assessment on my website, and that is theelevateinstitute.com. And it's right there on the front, self-assessment. You can take it right online, and I'll give you the answers, yes or no, if you have a toxic buildup and a possible need for hair analysis and a way to move forward if you choose to do that. So that's at theelevateinstitute.com, and self-analysis is right there on the front page.
That's fantastic. And one of the things I know you like to talk about is like natural healing, drug-free, trend-free, and fad-free, which I really appreciate. And I want to circle back just for a couple of minutes, because we have a couple of minutes left, and I want to talk about this fad-free. What are some fads that you have found that you're like, oh my gosh, where did that come from?
I've had a number of people who say, oh yeah, I decided to go through and do this cleanse for 30 days, and I'm going to be perfect when I get my hair analyzed by you. And more often than not, they feel worse, and it's a fad, I believe, should be avoided as much as possible, because it does more damage than good to a lot of people who are already depleted.
Right. And so if we're already depleted, one of the things we have to be careful of is that we don't continue down that same track of being depleted. Do you find other things besides how hair analysis and blood analysis work together? Are there other things that we can do? I've had all sorts of different allergy tests and things like that. Do they all work together?
They kind of do. And if you know that you have allergies to certain foods that you can avoid while you are going through a process like this, that does eventually correct food allergies and environmental allergies, because again, it's environment that creates the problem. So if you can avoid those foods while you are going through a process of healing, then that it hastens the healing. So it'll make things move a lot more quickly. If the lower the stress, the faster you heal. So that's one example of it. But yeah, I used chiropractic. I've used Reiki. I've used massage, of course. You get all of those, because it's not just physical healings that happen. You end up with emotional traumas that have been trapped in the body, causing aches and pains and you know, quirks, and the body gets held in certain ways for a while. And as you clear them out through massage or through Reiki or any other type of energetic healing, they all need that energy to pass through, and they're complementary to the hair analysis. There's number of modalities that people have turned to in addition to the hair analysis, and they all help. Everything helps.
Oh, absolutely. Everything helps. Quick story about the energetic part of it. For a long time, I have a long time masseuse that I've gone to for years, so she knows my body really well. And this was years ago, that I kept coming to her for the same shoulder pain, and it was the same place, same shoulder pain. And she's very intuitive, and out of the blue, after, I don't know, maybe 6 or 8 times of working on the shoulder thing, she goes, well, you know, if you take the knife out of your back, you'd be fine. And she was so true. I sat down for a while and did some meditation and some thought process and even a little bit of visualization. And was there really a knife back there? And of course, that was a metaphor. There was no real knife back there. But once I discovered that I had been holding on to something in my shoulder that wasn't related to my shoulder, I was amazed at how fast this shoulder, quote unquote, healed. It was fascinating to me how just taking that time and awareness were able to change the whole process of inflammation in my shoulder.
Yeah,
This is so fascinating. So fascinating. We could go so many multiple ways, Eva. Thank you so much for being on the show. We'll have to have you back because this is so fascinating to me to understand how, as I loved all the metaphors we used about the onion and just optimizing a little bit and a little bit, and then how we can be surprised by as the body continues to heal itself and to optimize. And she and I are in complete agreement that the body is an amazing healing machine. I just love that. So everyone, join us over at Facebook. We have a brand new Facebook page. Find me over there at Understanding Autoimmune. Join there. We got lots of great thoughts and we share a lot of inspirational types of things over there at Understanding Autoimmune, as well as Twitter is also, Twitter is Autoimmune Hour. You can find us there. You can find us also on Facebook, Autoimmune Hour, all these places on social media. Just join us wherever and look for either Understanding Autoimmune or Autoimmune Hour, as well as join me next Friday night for another brand new episode. And go to understandingautoimmune.com to join the Courage Club to find great little insider secrets from some of our guests, as well as other fascinating things that we share. And everyone, have a great week, whatever your adventures. Enjoy.
The information provided on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, including the websites understandingautoimmune.com and lifeinterruptedradio.com, plus social media, is for educational purposes only. What you read, hear, and see on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, and its websites and other media outlets is based on experience only. The information should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and/or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, "Sorry, I'm rambling," you say, "Thank you for listening." Join us at ProjectForgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there.